Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. When I use the term freedom from religion, do you assume I'm suggesting we just get rid of all these institutions? In today's podcast and post, I'll discuss the next institutional authority that we must subvert if we truly desire freedom in our lives. The only way to fix our faith is to accurately define religion and then become free of its name. Join me now as I reveal why the religious industrial complex should never have become big business, and why freedom from religion is the only path to reform the church and restore its power and message. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do, just like you. Welcome to the program. To all of you who are new and kicking the tires, thank you so much for giving us consideration. I mean, I know you have options. You could choose to just go be entertained, which most people do. So because I know I don't advertise, if you're listening to this and you're new, it's probably because you ran into me and I invited you to consider it, or you bumped into somebody else who listens and they said, hey, you should check this out. The word of mouth is predominantly the only way you find out about this thing. And I will say, most people unsubscribe within probably 3 to 4 weeks, and they start circling back after several months. It's a weird rhythm. You're a weird audience. I hate to say it, but if you're here and you're one of those who come back week after week, I gotta say thank you, because what that means is you actually can hear what I'm saying. And today we're going to get to one of those subjects that really challenges our assumptions. And in order to have nuanced biblical teaching, we have to challenge the assumption. We have to get out of the small broken framework and put it into a larger, inclusive, bigger, freer framework so that the new wine can actually take root in our soul. Now, if that's not something you're ready to do, this content is going to rub against you. I call them clinkers. I'll say things in certain ways that sound wrong, and then you'll unsubscribe. Oh, that guy's a heretic. Oh, that guy, my pastor never said anything like that. And so when I start picking the scabs at religion, people start getting really offended. And it doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to, today's podcast applies to you. And if you think you're one of those people who is smarter and more clever than everyone else because you figured this out early and avoided religion your whole life, and you've lived as an agnostic or an atheist or spiritually unaffiliated, let me tell you, you're not off the hook. You too have a religion. And so the definition has to be changed, which I'm going to do. And I will tell you that when I first taught some of this content, it was on a radio program that I was hosting, and the radio station got more negative feedback than they'd ever had on any other program. So I think I've got a nuanced here so that it shouldn't just ruffle every feather. But I put all these cones down just to kind of give you a heads up. Hey, I'm gonna pick on some of this stuff, and I need you to pay attention. I need you to really think through the definition of religion that I'm going to propose, and then I need you to really contemplate how that has taken root in your life and why it's so important, and ask yourself whether or not you truly are over-identified with your religion. Okay? I know that's challenging, but it's also very true. So let's jump right in. This is podcast number 479 of our part 6 of our Fix Your Faith series, and today is entitled Freedom from Religion. Now, if you assume that this series about faith, Fix Your Faith, is an invitation to go deeper into religion, then I hope by now you see that I'm offering you way more than that. Somebody who just wants to convert you to the Christian religion is not actually trying to help you. I think maybe in their sincere mind, they think this is going to be good for you. When a Muslim convinces another person to become Muslim and do the five pillars, that conversion to the religion is seen as a good thing. If you join the Catholic Church and go through their assimilation process to where you can be deemed good enough by the priests to take communion and join their sacraments, then you're a good person. That's seen as being good for you. If you subscribe to Mormonism and take all the vows and get into the secret handshakes and you can perform the rituals and actually go to the big temple, get married there or do some service there, you're considered a good person. And so these institutional things hang on us and we attach ourselves to them because they are huge in power and scope. And it's easy to conflate that this big industrial power has something to do with God, because that's God is powerful and this thing is powerful. So God must be in this thing. Now, I left the business of religion in 2012. Many of you are still here today, and you remember that. My fundamentalist mind finally realized, and trust me, you guys, I was such a fundy. I was looking for a fight. I was hoping to get into a theological debate and just crush people with my biblical knowledge, prove to you how wrong you were and why you needed to convert to the Christian religion. And if you weren't a part of the Christian religion, then I saw you as deficient. And even if you were a part of the Christian religion but didn't see the Bible and interpret it the way I did, I saw you as deficient, because nobody was as good as me, essentially. It's so sad when I say it, but that's truly where I was. And I had to get some healing from that. And I had to have the whole house of cards fall before I could see what I'm trying to offer you today. There's a subversive message in the Bible. You see, I didn't get here. I didn't leave religion because I turned loose of my Bible. I left religion because the Bible finally came through my fundamentalist mind and I heard it. I saw it. I realized it. And that's when I realized that Christ following led me out of religion. And if we do the same, we all follow Christ and he takes us out of our religion. And world religions may offer people a helpful structure. They might give you community or tradition, and all those things are good. But it's a popular and unbiblical mistake to conclude that religion gets us to God. See, folks, religion has never saved a single soul in all of human history. And I need you to let that marinate. Religion has saved nobody ever. So this series is an invitation to our freedom. And I've often said that freedom isn't having a captor, right? It's not having no captors at all and just doing whatever we want. Freedom isn't just the ability to go do what I please. Freedom is the ability to choose our captor. And so, like, if you are a slave to religion and you didn't really choose it, or if you've chosen it and you don't understand why you've chosen it, you are not free. The gospel message is an invitation to freedom, right? This is what I focused on, that where Jesus said, this is liberty to the captive. This is the opening of the prison door. And if we would hear the gospel's invitation, it would mean that we are pulled into a life of freedom. But yet we have all these people who go to church and subscribe to all these different religions, and none of them are free. They still are in bondage to their families. They're still in bondage to their tribe, their doctrines, their everything else, their work. They can't get out, and life kind of sucks, but it's religious life. So it has this veneer over the top of it, and it never gets to the deep level. That's what we're trying to do. So, excuse me. When we're offered the freedoms of success or money or sex or power or health, which is what our world offers us all the time. And trust me, you do think that if you have more success, you'll be more free. You think that if you have more money or sex or power, if you got your health back, that you would be free. But we fail to see the hook in the bait. That's why I've been showing you. This is how it's all built, assembled. God has prepared the world in such a way so that you can learn to see. And we can test this by examining those who've bowed and sacrificed their life to possess these so-called freedoms, and yet they can't flee the despair of new levels of captivity. I mean, think of all the millionaires, billionaires, rock stars who have all of this, and they're on antidepressants. They drink themselves into oblivion. That doesn't cut it, so they have to get on some kind of medication that eventually kills them in an overdose. They can't get happy. They can't get free. This is because this isn't the path to freedom. And so I want to offer you this. And that's why, as part of the review here, the Bible's counterintuitive path to freedom isn't religion. The Bible's counterintuitive path to freedom is Christ following. And you can do that from any religion, just as the first century church did. I know that seems shocking if you grew up being told conversion is unto religion, but the Bible doesn't really advocate for conversion. The true biblical revelation is that it advocates for your completion. And there isn't a religion in the early church to convert to. It's an invitation from all religions to join this process of discovering who the cosmic Christ is and how do we follow in faith. And that's the same invitation as today. And what we saw as Christ rejected Satan's offer as he was tempted in the wilderness story is that he was offered all the kingdoms of the world. And so we can do likewise. We can say, no, thank you. But usually we don't. We say, oh, I do want that kingdom, Satan. That sounds awesome. I do want that one. Instead of saying, no, thank you. You see, freedom from institutional authority. These are the exousion that we've been talking about. These are the authorities and the doxa that Satan says, they are mine to give to whomever I will. And freedom from them means that we don't make a name for ourselves, but instead discover our true name hidden in God, given by our Maker, who alone has the authority to say who you are. And so this temptation isn't about the life you choose so much as it is about who you are. It's ontological. And so why don't we want this? Honestly, like, think through this. Why don't people want to know who they truly are in God? Why is our world so focused on identity apart from God? My identity is my sexual preference. My identity is wrapped around my gender and how I get to define my gender. My identity is my power, my job. My identity is the work I've done. My identity is my family, right? You see how all of these exousion, these are authorities. They define you. They give you a name, and I always call it the fake ID. And in John 10:10, Jesus warns us. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus also said in Matthew 11:29-30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I think this answers the question, why would anybody want this? Why would you be 15 minutes into this talk, this podcast so far? Like, if you don't care about this, if you truly think you know who you are and what you want and what you're doing, this will seem so irrelevant to you. You will have no thirst for this content, as most people don't. Most people prefer to live on the surface of their life and never scratch the depth dimension and discover who they truly are in God. Who has your maker made you to be? Well, once you know that, you know your purpose, and you live a life in faith and fidelity to that, as opposed to going out and trying this on and that on and trying to become this and become that, just wearing these costumes all the time. You see, folks, if you want freedom, the first thing you have to realize is that pride is a prison. It's not a festival. Pride is... it's a sin. It's not a month. We scroll through the proud every day as they promote their name they've concocted for themselves. You just scroll one person's costume after the next. Look at me, look at me, look at me, listen to me, listen to me. Here's my opinion. It's just one endless thing, and we're addicted to it. We can't put our phones down. The costume is a delusion. It's not real. The opposite of what Jesus instructs us to be in Matthew 5:48, he says, be teleos, be authentic, real, be perfect, be initiated as your Father in heaven is real, authentic. Like he's saying, find yourself, get to that real part, not the superficial noise. Pride, it's our pride and our proud heart, our self-determination, our self definition that produces certainty, placing faith in ourself instead of God. It's the very act of Satan himself. Of course, all these authorities, these principalities and powers, these exousion, are his to give, because he's going to give out all the fake IDs, all the names you can take, and we sign up happily. Yes, Satan, I want to be called this. I want that name. I want that corner office. I want that term on my business card. And you go after your life, selling it day in and day out in hopes of becoming someone. Pride is over-identified with your pseudonym and the mask that's given by institutional authority. Now you can kind of see it. I've peeled the layer off. And if you're this far into this talk so far and I haven't really got started yet, then you know this is getting at the thing that's really real. But can you walk with me? I'm inviting you, pleading with you. This is why those who finally hear what I'm saying are transformed. And you go tell your friends, listen to this guy. And then they listen and they're like, I don't get it. I can't do that. And your appetite falls, and next thing you know, you're lost. But then 6-7 months later, you come back to this. You're like, I think I get it. life is a series of masks that we put on. And they're all tempting us toward self-definition. I didn't realize I was over-identified with my job, and that's why I was so offended when I was passed over for the promotion. I was trying to become a manager. I was trying to become the boss. I wanted my name in lights, and they didn't recognize me. See, the first institutional authority is our family. We talked about subverting that, and then our friends, and then our education and vocation, and today we reach religion. This is the big one. And if you notice, this is what Jesus did. And so why my path is so counterintuitive is because we're following Christ. Christ following, not religion, is the path to freedom. And Christ subverted his religion. Now remember, like John the Baptist said in Matthew 3, the axe is laid to the root, meaning we're going to take the power out from underneath. You're not going to power over. This is what the zealots thought the Messiah would do. He's going to come and he's going to militaristically overpower Rome and put Israel back in its place. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen through a political movement like, oh, he's going to become such a major dominant political figure that Rome and Judaism both want him to lead. It's like, oh, all of a sudden the Democrats and the Republicans both agree on the same candidate and its policies. Good luck. Remember, Jesus was baptized in the desert 21 miles outside the temple. He subverted its power to baptize him. Jesus unrolls the scroll and proclaims that he's the Messiah out of Isaiah 61. That's subversive. They ended up wanting to throw him off the cliff for that at his own hometown. Jesus' first miracle of turning the water into wine, it subverts the water purification rite that religion had that kept some people in and some people out. Jesus tells an invalid that if he breaks the Sabbath by picking up his bed and walking, that he would be healed. Pick up your bed and walk. What is he saying? He's saying, break the Sabbath and I'll heal you. That's subversive to religion. Eventually, we see in Matthew 12 and John 3 and other places how the religious leaders conspired how to kill Jesus. Religion is one of the final authorities that put Jesus on the cross. So if you think Jesus was here to promote a religion or start a brand new one, you did not hear or learn the Bible. Whoever taught you missed that vital point. If you don't become free from the Bible, if you don't become free from religion, then you haven't heard the Bible. Now, these are just a few of the obvious examples, but the entire Bible, old and new, continuously reveals that Christ following subversion is the only way a person can be free from religion. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week when we get to the next layer, the biggest exousion of them all. But some might be wondering, hey, Kevin, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't subscribe to any religion. So how can you say that I'm somehow captive to religion? And I get this question a lot. And once we understand institutional authority, these exousion that belong to Satan, and then we discover our fake ID, that pseudonym that we're given by institutional powers, then we can understand the true definition of a religion. You see, religion follows a faith, like we're all people of faith, and whatever you place your faith in becomes your religion. So as we trust in some institutional authority, we become religiously identified or over-identified with it. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Catholic or Mormon or Buddhist or Hindu or Islam or whatever it is, you're over-identified with it when you take it on as your religion. Oh, well, I'm a scientist. That's a religion. That means that you gain something from the world, that you're performing a religion. Oh, but I'm a Olympic athlete, a religion. You have to bow. You have to sacrifice. You have to give up your life and live by a very exacting God in order to be given and doled out the prize at the very end to say you are worthy. Don't tell me it's not a religion. Don't tell me joining the media and trying to have a career as a journalist isn't joining a religion. You're going to cozy up to the biggest powers that can define you and try and become a podcaster, a YouTuber, or anything else. You are subscribing to a religion. Don't think that the world of sports and business and politics and science and the arts are anything different than the Baptists and the Mormons. We turn everything into a religion, folks, because we bow down and worship the exousion, because we have taken the hook that Satan has offered. We worship anything that gives us a life that we think we want, because we don't really know who we are and we don't know what we really want. So we'll take the next best thing, which is sounds great. So subversion, then, is not elimination. This is not, we have to get rid of all the world's religions. We have to get rid of Catholicism and Mormonism and no. These institutions can be institutions for good, but they have to be subverted of their power. You have to be in it, but not of it. And then when the institution begins to serve its constituents instead of its constituents serving it, then it moves from a institution into a gathering, a community, or what we would call the ecclesia. See, we can be in a religion, any religion, and not be of it. This is why Christ following doesn't matter what religion you are from. It didn't matter in the first century. It doesn't now. Following Christ does not mean you're a Christian. Following Christ was something that you could do as a Jew, and it was proven that those who were in the desert drinking the water that saved them in the wilderness watering in the Hebrew people's tradition, that water that flowed out was Christ. Like, so Christ is not a Christian thing. The whole cosmic Christ is a Hebrew concept. Think about this, folks. Freedom from religion is the freedom to benefit from the good which the religion may offer, community and tradition and proximity, if we desire to participate. But it's also, it means that if you're free from it, that you have a deeper trust in God as Christ did, that even outside of religion, our life in God remains healthy and intact. And I've always offered this to my audience. Some of you take me up on this. Some of you are horrified to try it. But the best way to test if you're not over-identified with your religion is to stop going for 6 months. Are you free from religion? What happens if you step away for 6 months? Is anything from God actually lost? No. But if our faith withers, like if we start falling away and we stop getting more, have the sermons, so we don't think about it. We don't have anybody reading the Bible to us, so we don't read the Bible. We don't have anybody singing, Jesus songs or whatever, so we don't really sing any songs. And next thing you know, the rest of the world crowds it out and your faith dwindles and you become weaker and sicker. Well, then you can know that your faith is in religion, not God. You never have placed your faith in God. Like if you become marginalized, looked down upon, shamed, or threatened, well, then you know the true colors of religion are showing. If they say, oh, you're not being a good Muslim, you're not being a good Mormon, you're not being a good Catholic, you're not being a good Baptist, this guy hasn't been to church in 3 weeks or 3 months, they must be sliding, backsliding. They're going on their way to hell. Like, if you're religious organization condemns you for lack of participation, then its true colors are really showing. This is why you need 6 months off to see what you're really made of, to see if your faith actually is in God or if you just got sucked into the machine. When literally nothing religion can say or do erodes our confidence of who we are in God, then we're free. See, if religion marginalized Jesus, it will marginalize you. And this is how you can become free from it, is take a break. Nothing eternal is going to get ruined in 6 months. If religion likes and values you, then your freedom and identity is not entirely in Christ. I hope you hear that. Like, if religion loves you, if religion depends on you, if you do the bidding of religion, then your identity is not in Christ. And man, I would have spit on you if I heard that 15 years ago. Now, if the world's authorities hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. That was Jesus in John 15:18. If the world's authority system hates you, know that it hated me first. You see, we become free from religion in the same way we become free from any of Satan's institutional authorities. Next week, we're going to talk about the big one, politics. And every person I know is sucked into politics. It's your new God. It's your new religion. It's really the world's big religion. And you need to be free of it, or you will never have a freedom. We have to get over our need for these exousion, these institutional authorities. And we have to realize that God is the authority. God is the only one who gets to say who we are. We have to discover who we truly are in God, not who our favorite institution says I am. Remember, this is a very pernicious trade. You don't realize who you're dealing with. Like, I don't believe in the devil with horns and hoofs and a spiky tail and all that, you know, stuff that comes out of fiction. But institutional evil is absolutely real. Institutional evil has a father. It has a persona. It has an influence. It has a power. It has an authority. And we willingly give our life away in service to it. We bow before it in hopes that it will make us someone. Make me someone. I am desperate for relevance. Just look at the internet and social media. Desperate for relevance. We are over our families. We need to get over our friends. We need to get over our vocations and religions. And we are only over all of that when we don't need them to give us something. We can simply participate in them. Remember, subversion is not eradication. You're not getting rid of your family. You're simply becoming free of its authority over you. You're not getting rid of your friends. You're getting free from their authority, their pull on you. You're not getting rid of a vocation or a job. You're getting free from its ability to define who you are. And you're not getting rid of religions. You're becoming free of its ability to index you and name you and tell you who you are. You see, these concentric circles are leading us to a true, deep, lasting freedom. And if you're this far into the talk, I hope you are glued to your seat, because this is the crux of it. Once we don't need them to give us something or to make us feel a certain way, once we don't need these authorities to validate us, to give us a sense of relevance? Why? Well, we don't need that security or that fictional existence anymore because I know who I am. I know who I am in God. I know we can discover who that is, and you're free from it. Now you're free to actually go in and serve. You're actually free to help make that institution serve more people instead of having the people serve the institution. See, when we give up our will entirely to the will of God, then we become free. The freest a person can be is to do the will of God. Now, that might totally shock you by your definition of freedom. This is why I'm trying to help you by giving you the lens to see it. And all of Satan's authorities will ultimately kill us. I'm warning you about that. Living that life, it will kill you. It will kill that true part of you because you'll actually think you are what's on your business card. Man, you meet these people all the time. It's insane, the costumes that we see. And that includes religion. These people actually believe who they think they are. Their church propped up some pastor and he thinks he's a big rock star and he actually believes that he's in the business of converting people to religion. And the idea of being free of it is horribly threatening. How do I know that? Well, learn my life story. It becomes quite obvious. Folks, as we follow Christ, keep in mind he's leading us to bear our own cross. We don't live for this world. We subvert its power by living for God in the world. And so if Jesus could say the following words to the leaders of his religion, then we must be able to hear him say it to the leaders of ours. So imagine Jesus standing before your biggest religious leaders. Was this the elders of the Mormon Church? Is this the Pope and the cardinals in the Vatican? Is this the highest in Buddhism and Hinduism, the highest ranking religious leaders in Islam or the Sikh religion? Imagine Jesus standing with them and you behind Jesus now saying this to your religious leaders. You, the religious, are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar. And that's that word falsehood, pseudo. He's a fake ID and the father of fake IDs. Imagine saying that. You are of your father, the devil, to your religious leader. What would happen to you? Well, you know what happened to Jesus. They hung him on a cross. And this is why Jesus says, anybody who would follow after me will take up his cross and deny himself. So folks, the journey of subversion, becoming free, isn't just a physical death, while that is one thing that frees us ultimately. It's the dying to everything else that's attached to it. And so that's the game. You either see it and say, yes, I want it. I will bow before you, Satan, and I will take your offering, and I will live my life, give all my energy and calories to be named by one of these exousion. Or you will say no. Now, I know that sounds very horribly wrong. I know it might sound like if you told your religious leaders that they were of their father, the devil, that sounds horribly wrong. Horribly wrong, as it did when Jesus said it to his religious leaders. I'm not asking you to go and tell them that they work for Satan. I'm asking you to kind of consider this definition and realize that if we were true to Christ's mission, then the Christian religion would never have become what it is today. It would never have become the religious industrial complex. We wouldn't have all of these different things if people understood it. And I know it all sounds wrong, but I pray you'll do the deep soul work of examining whether it's true. And then you can go back and serve the community of people. You don't have to abandon it. You don't have to leave it. You don't have to get rid of it. You reform it from the inside out, just like you're reformed from the inside out. Because once you're free and you can see it, then you can help others to become free and they can see it. And you can simply make small tweaks that reorder everything so that you're not on the throne anymore, but God is. Now, if you hear this voice calling you into that freedom, follow it. My advice is to do that. Never play the cynic. And like James Finley used to say, don't break faith with your awakened heart. That's your path to freedom. That's how we Christ follow. It's not through religion. God bless you as you contemplate these things.